Duke Nukem Forever, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. Duke Nukem Forever is an upcoming first-person shooter video game for the Microsoft Windows, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3 systems. Currently in development by Gearbox Software, and a sequel to the 1996 game Duke Nukem 3D, as part of the long-running Duke Nukem video game series. Intended to be groundbreaking, it has become notorious in the video games industry for its severely protracted development schedule, aka vaporware. The game has been in development since 1997. Originally in development under 3D Realms, director George Brassard, one of the creators of the original Duke Nukem game, first announced the title's development in April 1997. And promotional information for the game was released in one form or another from 1997 to 2008. This information, including screenshots, showed different looks for the game, as 3D Realms was constantly changing game engines and graphics. After repeatedly announcing and deferring release dates, 3D Realms announced in 2001 that it would be released simply when it's done. In May 2009, 3D Realms was downsized for financial reasons, resulting in the loss of the game's development team. Statements by the company indicated that the project was due to go gold soon with pictures of final development. Take-Two Interactive, which owns the publishing rights to the game, filed a lawsuit in 2009 against 3D Realms over their failure to finish development. 3D Realms retorted that Take-Two's legal interest in the game is limited to their publishing right. The case was settled with prejudice and details undisclosed in May 2010. On 3 September 2010, after 13 years, Duke Nukem Forever was officially reported by 2K Games to be in development at Gearbox Software with an expected release date of 2011. Development. Background. Scott Miller was a lifelong gamer who released his text-based video games as shareware in the 1980s. By 1988, the shareware business was a $10 to $20 million a year market, but the distribution method had never been tried for video games. Miller found that gamers were not willing to pay for something they could get for free, so he came up with the idea of offering only the opening level of games for free. Players could then purchase the game to receive the rest of the game. George Brassard, whom Miller met when he was in high school, joined Miller at his company, Apogee, which published and marketed games developed by other companies. While Miller was quiet, with a head for business, Brassard was an enthusiastic creative impresario. Apogee, a new brand name was made 3D Realms in 1994, grew from a small startup to a successful corporation. Among the titles they published was id Software's Wolfenstein 3D in 1992. Wolfenstein was highly successful, popularizing 3D gaming and establishing the first-person shooter, FPS, genre. By 1994, Brassard began working on 3D Realms' own first-person shooter, rather than the faceless marine of other games. Players assumed the role of Duke Nukem, whom Brassard described as a combo of John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. After a year and a half of work, Duke Nukem 3D was released in January 1996. Among game aspects that appealed to players were environmental interaction and adult-oriented content, including blood and strippers. Buoyed by this success, Brassard announced a follow-up, Duke Nukem Forever. Quake 2 Engine, 1997-1998. Duke Nukem Forever was officially announced on April 28, 1997, with the intention of releasing the game no later than mid-1998. Barely a year after the release of Duke Nukem 3D, the game's graphics and its game engine, the Build Engine, were antiquated. Id Software's new Quake 2 engine was far superior to Build, so Brassard decided to license it. The price spent for the licensing rights was steep. Estimates were as high as $500,000, but Broussard reasoned that it would save time used to write a game engine from scratch. Broussard and Miller were flush with cash from the sale of Duke Nukem 3D and other games, so they decided to fund Duke Nukem Forever themselves, turning marketing and publishing rights over to GT Interactive. In August and September, the first screenshots of Duke Nukem Forever were released in PC Gamer magazine. However, 3D Realms did not receive the Quake 2 engine code until November 1997, and the earlier screenshots were mock-ups with the Quake engine that the team had made in their spare time. 3D Realms unveiled the first video footage of Duke Nukem Forever using the Quake 2 engine at the 1998 Electronic Entertainment Expo E3 conference. The trailer showed Duke fighting on the back of a moving truck with firefights with aliens. While critics were impressed, Broussard was not happy with the progress being made. Unreal Engine, 1998-2002. Soon after the release of Quake 2 Engine, Epic Games had unveiled its own Unreal Engine. The Unreal Engine was more realistic than Quake 2 and was better suited to producing open spaces. 3D Realms had been struggling to render the Nevada desert. Soon after E3, a programmer suggested that they make the switch. After discussions, the developers unanimously agreed to the change, which would mean scrapping much of their work so far, including significant changes 3D Realms had made to the Quake engine. In June 1998, 14 months after the Quake 2 announcement, 3D Realms made the switch announcement. Broussard said that the game would not be significantly delayed by the switch, but that the project would be back to where it was at E3 within a month to 6 weeks. Broussard also said that no content seen in the E3 trailer would be lost. Chris Hargrove, one of the game's programmers at the time, confided that the change amounted to a complete reboot of the project. By the end of 1999, Duke Nukem Forever had missed several release dates and was largely unfinished. Half the game's weapons remained concepts. Broussard shot back at criticisms of the game's lengthy development time as the price paid for developing complex modern games. Today's games are much more complex. In Duke Nukem 3D, all the characters were sprites. Today, they are polygonal models. All have to be skinned and then animated or motion captured. A very long, tedious, and complex process. Also, games today are deeper and require more than key door stuff. That means more time to develop. Note, all the so-so first-person shooter games didn't sell well in the last 2 years, and you'll see that they were simply compared to more complex efforts like Half-Life. A game like Duke Nukem Forever is probably 5 to 10 times more complex than Duke Nukem 3D was. A significant factor contributing to the game's protracted development was that Broussard was continually looking to add new elements to the game. A running joke at 3D Realms was to stop Broussard from seeing a new video game, as he would want to include portions of it in Duke Nukem Forever. Later that year, Broussard decided to upgrade to a new version of the Unreal Engine that was designed for multiplayer matches. Former employees recalled that Broussard did not have a plan for what the finished game would look like. At the same time, GT Interactive was facing higher than expected losses and hired Bear Stearns to... Bear Stearns, they don't exist anymore. To look into selling the company or merging it. Later that year, Infogrames Entertainment announced it was purchasing a controlling interest in GT Interactive. The publishing rights for Duke Nukem Forever passed to Gathering of Developers in early December 2000. To placate anxious fans, Broussard decided to create another trailer for E3 2001. It was the first public look at the game in 3 years. The video showed a couple of minutes of in-game footage, which notably showed the player moving in what appears to be Las Vegas, and a certain level of interactivity. The player buys a sandwich from a vending machine and pushes each individual button on a keypad with Duke's outstretched finger. The trailer was impressive, and Duke Nukem was the talk of the convention. IGN reported on the game's graphics that characters come to life with picturesque facial animations that are synced perfectly with speech, hair that swings as they bob their heads, eyes that follow gazes, and more. The particle effect system, meanwhile, boasts impressive explosion effects with shimmering fire, shattered glass, and blood spilt in every direction. Add in real-time lighting effects, interactive environments, and a variation in locales unequaled in any other first-person shooter, and you begin to see and understand why Duke Nukem Forever has been one of the most hotly anticipated titles over the last couple of years. Duke Nukem Forever looked as good or better than most games, and staff at 3D Realms recalled a sense of elation after the presentation. "The video was just being eaten up by people," one said. "We were so far ahead of other people at the time." While many of the staff expected Broussard to make a push for finishing the game, however, he still did not have a finished product in mind. Following the death of one of Gathering of Developers' co-founders and continuing financial problems, the publisher's Texas-based offices were shut down and absorbed into the parent company, Take-Two Interactive. Conflict with Take-Two, 2003 to 2006. By 2003, only 18 people at 3D Realms were working on the game. One former employee said that Broussard and Miller were still operating on a 1995 mentality before games became large-team, big-budget development affairs. Because they were financing the project themselves, the developers could also ignore pressure from their publisher. Their standard reply to when Duke Nukem Forever would ship was, "When it's done." In 2003, Take-Two CEO Jeffrey LePin reported that the game would not be out that year. He further said that the company was writing off $5.5 million from its earnings due to Duke Nukem Forever's lengthy development time. Broussard shot back that Take-Two needs to STFU. "We don't want Take-Two saying stupid-ass things in public for the sole purpose of helping their stock. It's our time and our money we are spending on the game. So either we're absolutely stupid and clueless, or we believe in what we are working on." Later that year, LePin said 3D Realms had told him that Duke Nukem Forever was expected to be finished by the end of 2004 or the beginning of 2005. In 2004, video game company website GameSpot reported that Duke Nukem Forever had switched to the Doom 3 engine. Many gaming news sites mailed Broussard asking him to confirm or deny the rumor. After receiving no answer from him, they published the rumor as fact. But Broussard explicitly denied the rumor soon after. Soon after 3D Realms replaced the game's Karma physics system with one designed by Mechon, a relatively unknown Swedish firm. Closed doors demonstrations of the technology suggested that the physics of Duke Nukem Forever would be a step up from the critically acclaimed Half-Life 2. Rumors suggested that the game would appear at 2005 E3, while 3D Realms' previously canceled Prey made an appearance. The rumors of Duke Nukem's Forever appearance proved false. Broussard reported in a January 2006 interview that many of Duke Nukem Forever's elements had been finished. "We're just basically putting it all together and trying to make it fun." Later that year, Broussard demonstrated samples of the game, including an early level, a vehicle sequence, and a few test rooms. Among the features seen was the interactive use of an in-game computer to send actual emails. The developer seemed contrite and affected by the long delays. While a journalist demoed the game, Broussard referenced note cards and constantly apologized for the state of the game. In filing with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, Take-Two revealed that they had renegotiated the Duke Nukem Forever deal, with the developer receiving $4.25 million instead of $6 million on release of the game. Take-Two offered a $500,000 bonus if Duke Nukem Forever was commercially released by December 31, 2006. However, Broussard denied the rumors that DNF would be released, saying that 3D Realms never cared for or asked for the bonus. He stated that he would never ship a game early. Of course not. Some of the staff were tired of the delays. Duke Nukem Forever was the only 3D game many had worked on. giving them little to put on a resume, and as much of a 3D Realms payment hinged on profit sharing after release, the continual delays meant deferred income. By August 2006, between 7 to 10 employees had left since 2005. A majority of the Duke Nukem Forever team, which in recent months had shrunk to around 18 staff. While Slack News speculated that the departures would lead to further delays, 3D Realms denied the claims, stating that the employees had left over a number of months and that the game was still moving ahead. Creative director Raphael von Lierop, hired in 2007, played through the completed content and realized that there was more finished than he expected. Lierop told Broussard that he felt they could push the game and blow everyone out of the water, but Broussard responded that the game was still 2 years away from completion. 2007 through 2009. The long delay strained Broussard and Miller's relationship, and by the end of 2006, Broussard appeared to become serious about shipping the title. On January 25th and May 22nd, 2007, Broussard posted two Gamma Sutra job ads with small screenshots of Duke Nukem and an enemy, which he later confirmed were in-game screenshots. The team doubled in size within a short time frame. Among the new hires was project lead Brian Hook, who became the first person to successfully resist Broussard's requests for changes. A new game trailer was released on December 19th, 2007, the first teaser in more than 6 years. The video was made by 3D Realms employees as part of holiday festivities. While Broussard maintained the release date would be when it's done, he added, "You can expect more frequent media releases, and we have considerable work behind us." While the Dallas Business Journal confirmed a 2008 release date for the game, Broussard later reported that this was based on a misunderstanding of off-the-record information. In-game footage of the game appeared in 2008 premiere episode of The Jace Hall Show, filmed entirely on handheld cameras but not originally expected to be publicly released. The video showed host Jason Hall playing through the parts of a single level on a PC at 3D Realms' office. The footage was confirmed to have been shot 6 months prior to the episode air date, and according to Broussard, contained outdated particle and combat effects that had since been replaced. The game did not make an appearance at E3 2008, an event which Miller described as irrelevant. While the game neared completion, the funding began to dry up. Having spent more than $20 million of their own money, Broussard and Miller asked Take-Two for $6 million to complete the game. According to Broussard and Miller, Take-Two initially agreed, but then only offered $2.5 million. Take-Two maintained that they offered $2.5 million up front and another $2.5 million on completion. Broussard rejected the counteroffer and on May 6, 2009, suspended all development. DNF team fired and 3D Realms downsized 2009 to 2010. 3D Realms laid off the DNF staff on May 8, 2009, due to lack of funding, but inside sources claimed it would still operate as a smaller company. Development on DNF halted, and its fate was unknown. Publisher Take-Two Interactive, in response, stated that they still held the publishing rights for Duke Nukem Forever, but they were not funding the game. On May 7th and May 8th, 2009, unreleased screenshots, concept art, pictures of models from the game, and a goodbye message from 3D Realms were posted by alleged former employees. Similar leaks occurred on May 9, 10, 11, and 12. On May 9, 2009, an unofficial Duke Nukem Forever gameplay video was leaked by a user of the Duke4.net forums. According to the user, the video was to serve as a demo reel for animator Brian Brewer, who had been working on the game with 3D Realms, and Brewer had been waiting for approval from George Broussard, former co-owner of 3D Realms at the time of the leak. On May 10th, 2009, a second demo reel showing some Duke Nukem Forever animation was also released. The same user of the Duke4.net forums later proceeded to release 28 screenshots and documents outlining the plot of the game. The 28 screenshots were taken from the LinkedIn profile of an employee. On May 14, 2009, Take-Two filed a lawsuit against 3D Realms over their failure to complete Duke Nukem Forever, citing that they paid $12 million to Infogrames in 2000 to acquire the publishing rights. 3D Realms argued, however, that they never received that money, as it was a direct agreement between Infogrames and Take-Two. The lawsuit seemed to be over a contractual breach, but not regarding the $12 million mentioned above. Take-Two asked for a restraining order and a preliminary injunction to make 3D Realms keep the Duke Nukem Forever assets intact during proceedings. The court denied Take-Two's request for a temporary restraining order. In 2009, Apogee court filing stated 3D Realms Apogee Ltd. admits that it has continually worked on the development of the DNF for many years and continues to do so, as well as revealing that development halted on Duke Begins. In December 2009, Apogee CEO Scott Miller clarified that, "We've never said that Duke Nukem Forever has ceased development," explaining, "Yes, we released the internal team, but that doesn't correlate to the demise of the project." According to a recent interview with the magazine GameSauce, 3D Realms has laid off the game's internal development team, but still plans to most likely work with external development studios to develop the game. An unofficial compilation of the gameplay footage was also released in 2009. On June 11, 2010, it was announced that 3D Realms and Take-Two had settled the lawsuit and dismissed it with prejudice on May 14. Gearbox Revival 2009. Despite the discontinuation of the internal game development at 3D Realms, development of the game did not cease entirely. 9X employees, including key personnel like Alan Bloom, continued game development through 2009 from their homes. These employees would later become Triptych Games, an independent studio that is currently housed in the same building as Gearbox and is collaborating with them. Yeah. By the way, I don't know how to pronounce any of these people's names, so I'm just making it all up. But I think I'm right on Broussard, and I don't know who Alan Blum is, but apparently he's now related to this project. Excuse me. After ceasing internal game development, 3D Realms approached noted game developers Gearbox Software and asked them if they were interested in helping Triptych Games polish the nearly finished PC version and port it to the consoles. Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford, who had worked on an expansion to Duke Nukem 3D, and very briefly on Forever before he left to found Gearbox, found that Duke can't die and decided that he was going to help in Duke's time of need. He started providing funding for the game and contacted 2K Games' president to persuade him that Gearbox and Triptych can complete the development of the game and get it released on all platforms in time. Piranha Games was contracted to build the multiplayer of the game and help with the console ports. The game was officially reannounced at the Penny Arcade Expo 2010 on September 3rd, 2010. It was the first time in the game's development history that gamers were actually able to try the game. According to Pitchford, the line has gotten up to 4 hours long to see the game. On the final day of the Penny Arcade Expo, during the Gearbox Software panel, it was announced that the company had bought the Duke Nukem intellectual property from 3D Realms, and the 2K Games now holds the exclusive long-term publishing rights of the game. It has since been officially confirmed that development has been almost completed, with only minor polishing to be done, before the game is released in 2011. Pitchford has stated that a playable demo will be released once they figure out the timing. Mikey Newman, creative director of Gearbox, has revealed on the Avault podcast episode number 100 that the game is going to be released in early 2011. On October 1, 2010, Randy Pitchford showed for a second time real-time gameplay footage from the game at the First Look Gaming Convention in Amsterdam, and a couple of levels were available for play for visitors. On October 5, 2010, Gearbox announced that purchasers of the Game of the Year edition of Borderlands that was released on October 12, 2010, will receive an exclusive early access to the demo of Duke Nukem Forever at some point in 2011, before the game's release. According to Steve Gibson, Vice President of Marketing for Gearbox, the demo will be different to the one that was shown at PAX in first look, and people are going to be surprised with what it is put in it. Wikipedia. It's great stuff. He also noted that the multiplayer mode of the game will be shown to the press in an event that is coming soon. According to Valve, those that purchased Borderlands on Steam prior to October 12, 2010 will get the code for the demo without the need to buy the Game of the Year edition of the game. Press coverage. Wired News has awarded Duke Nukem Forever its Vaporware Awards several times. It placed second in June 2000 and topped the list in 2001 and 2002. Wired created the Vaporware Lifetime Achievement Award exclusively for DNF and awarded it in 2003. George Brassard accepted the award, simply stating, "We are undeniably late and we know it." In 2004, the game did not make the top 10. Wired editors said they had given DNF the Lifetime Achievement Award to get it off the list. However, upon readers' demands, Wired changed its mind, and DNF won first place in 2005, 2006, and 2007. In 2008, Wired staff officially considered removing DNF from their annual list, citing that even the best jokes get old eventually, only to reconsider upon viewing the handheld camera footage of the game in the Jace Hall show, awarding the game with first place once again. In 2009, Wired published Wired News' Vaporware Awards 2009. Duke Nukem Forever was specifically excluded from consideration on the grounds that the project was finally dead. Duke Nukem Forever has drawn a number of jokes related to its development timeline. The video gaming industry and public in general have routinely suggested several names in place of Forever, calling it Never, taking Forever, Whenever, For Never, Never Ever, or If Ever. The game has also been ridiculed as Duke Nukem Forever in development, the longest game ever in production, and an elaborate in-joke at the expense of the industry. As shown at PAX 2010, the game contains jokes about its long development time. The titular character is seen using a urinal for a rather long time and exclaims, "This is taking forever." Also, when asked if the game is any good, he replies, "Yeah, but after 12 fucking years, it should be." When the GameSpy editors compiled a list of the top 25 dumbest moments in gaming history in June 2003, Duke Nukem Forever placed number 18. On 27 May 2009, Zero Punctuation published a mock review of the game, highlighting and ridiculing both the long development time and the general hype surrounding the game's apparent cancellation. In September 2010, it was voted the show's best review by fans. Jason Hall, host of the Jace Hall Show, featured Duke Nukem Forever in the show's premiere episode on June 4, 2008, and described his hands-on play experience with the game as perfect, ending the segment with, "I saw it. They have been working. It's not a myth. You're going to be pleased." In a subsequent interview with 1UP.com, he described the game as amazing, with the summation, "This must be the only game in history worth waiting 12 years for, perhaps longer. It was good." On 21 December 2010, Hall confirmed in an interview with TripleBeard.com that there is a surprise for Duke fans when Season 4 of the Jace Hall Show debuts in mid to end of October 2010. Throughout the last few weeks on the Jace Hall Show, there has been little clips of the game on almost every episode of the show teasing the game. Well, thank you very much. My name is Herbert Elwood Gilliland III. I am the actual guy who thought up the brand and business concept of the popular site YouTube, although they probably won't write that on the Wikipedia about me. Thanks a lot, and have a great day.